वासुदेवाय रीडिंग फ्रॉम श्रीमद्भागवतम कैंटो 10 चैप्टर 8 लॉर्ड कृष्णा शोज द यूनिवर्सल फॉर्म टेक्स्ट नंबर 23 तन्मातरो निजसुतो गृणया स्नुवन्त्यो पङ्कांगरागरुचिरावुपगृह्य दोर्भ्याम् दत्त्वा स्तनं प्रपिबतो स्म मुखं निरीक्ष मुग्धस्मितल्पदशनं ययतु प्रमोदम् तन्मा ट्रांसलेशन एंड परपर्ट ट्रांसलेशन ड्रेस विथ मडी अर्थ मिक्स विथ काउ डंग एंड काउ यूरिन द बेबीज लुक वेरी ब्यूटिफुल एंड व्हेन दे वेन टू देयर मदर्स बोथ यशोदा एंड रोहिणी पिक देम अप विथ ग्रेट अफेक्शन एम्ब्रेस देम एंड अलाउड देम टू सक द मिल्क flowing from their breast. While sucking the breast, the baby smiled, and their small teeth were visible. Their mothers, upon seeing those beautiful teeth, enjoyed great transcendental bliss. Purport. As the mothers cared for their respective babies, by the arrangement of Yoga Maya, the babies thought, here is my mother. And the mother's thought, here is my son. Because of affection, milk naturally flowed from the mother's breast, and the babies drank it. When the mothers saw small teeth coming in, they would count them and be happy. And when the babies saw their mothers allowing them to drink their breast milk, the babies also felt transcendental pleasure. As this transcendental affection continued between Rohini and Balram and Yashoda and Krishna, they all enjoyed transcendental bliss. So here in this verse, we can see that the Supreme Lords Krishna and Balaram, they are having their transcendental pastimes in the courtyard of Nanda Maharaj. One great devotee, Ramana, he says that, I'm not studying the Vedas or supplementary literatures, Puranas or Mahabharat. I don't worship them, but I worship Nanda Maharaj. In his courtyard, Param Brahma, the Supreme Lord, is performing his transcendental pastimes. Yasya linde param brahma. So that is a meditation great devotees have. And the Supreme Lord, according to everyone's original nature, he reciprocates. The Supreme Lord is the reservoir of all pleasure. Raso vesaha. He can enjoy all different types of pleasures with his innumerable devotees simultaneously. And our acharyas explained that there are different levels of devotees. They are having different transcendental relationships with the Supreme Lord. The rasa, the mood in which different devotees serve, varies according to their levels of devotion. There are devotees in the mood of shantaras, there are devotees in the mood of dasyaras, the devotees who are like Krishna's friends, the devotees who are in the mood of vatsalya bhava, parental affection, and the topmost devotees of the Lord, the gopis of Vrindavan, those who are having conjugal relationship with the Supreme Lord. And we can see that the Supreme Lord, being the Almighty, the Supreme Absolute Truth, Param Brahma, the Vedas glorify, the Upanishads, all the great literatures glorify that Supreme Lord. He is now having his childhood pastimes, the baby pastimes in the courtyard. And it is explained here that dress with muddy earth mixed with cow dung and cow urine. This is the description of the Supreme Lord. Krishna and Balaram dress with muddy earth, with cow dung and cow urine. So they had the dress of the mud of dust of Vrindavan, cow dung mixed with cow urine. Yesterday our Akinchan Krishnapu was explaining that some children, they went to farm and their parents were not very happy to see that their children were playing and they were doing some service in the cow shed, touching the cow dung. But it is explained, even it is scientifically proved, that cow dung and cow urine have got antiseptic properties. They have got medicinal value. A lot of medicinal value is there. And there is a lot of research going on to make use of such natural products. So that is a gift of Vrindavan. The Supreme Lord is, he enjoys that, the dust of Vrindavan. And it is explained that this dust of Vrindavan is so important for all of us, all the Gaudiya Vaishnavas and all the devotees of Krishna, that this dust of Vrindavan is so important. Because Srila Prabhupada explains that when you take the dust from Vrindavan, it is not different from the lotus feet of the Supreme Lord. When you take that dust, and it is not different from the Supreme Lord on the transcendental level. And sometimes some devotees, they worship the dust. Sometimes they eat that dust. There are some devotees in Vrindavan, they don't leave Vrindavan. But if they happen to leave, then they carry the dust of Vrindavan in small bottles. And when they are having their prasadam, they sprinkle on the food like a salt. So they don't want to miss the remembrance of Vrindavan. That is the value of the dust of Vrindavan, not any ordinary dust. Srila Prabhupada at another time explained to another devotee that there is a difference between the dust of Vrindavan and dust at any other place. Somewhere in Hyderabad, he was explaining that if you take the dust from this place, Hyderabad, it will not have the same effect as you take the dust from Vrindavan. Because the dust of Vrindavan can fulfill all your desires. It is Chintamani Dham. Each dust particle is so important. And we can see that how it has become so important, because the Supreme Lord is playing in that dust. He's dressed with muddy earth mixed with cow dung and cow urine. Sometimes we make covering on the wall with such Vrindavan dust and cow dung. Go in the restaurant. There's a lot of effect on our consciousness. So it is explained that this dust of Vrindavan is sometimes made up of camphor. Some places it is made up of saffron. Some places it is made up of ground musk. And some places various ingredients which are used in sacrifice, various types of sacrifice we make. So this dust of Vrindavan is so important. And it is explained that one should, when one reaches Vrindavan, on the outskirts of Vrindavan, he should roll in the dust of Vrindavan. Right? He should not see that I am such a wealthy person, or sometimes even I am a brahmachari, I am having a nice clothes. How can I roll in the dust? My clothes will get dirty. So that kind of thought may be there, but when especially somebody is approaching Vrindavan, one should not have such kind of thoughts. And especially I remember when we went to Vrindavan many years before, I guess it was Nanda Maharaj's place or where Ukhal Bandhan, that pastime takes place. And many devotees were offering their dandavats, falling like a rod in the dust of Vrindavan. And Vishwarup Prabhu, who is like the Vrindavan Acharya, he knows the ins and outs of Vrindavan and different details of etiquettes. And some devotees were wiping out their dust from their clothes. So he immediately told, "No, please do not dust it out. It is important. Let it be on your body. Because it has such effect, such important, it can remove the reactions of sinful activities of many, many lifetimes." There is a story of King Kulashekhar, who was a great king and devotee in Orissa. And he was great king, he was very virtuous. There was no limit to his glories. And at the same time, he was so much learned in the scriptures, so much attached to studying and following. So at one time, as his spiritual master came, he was sitting in the assembly, he bowed down to spiritual master, and he was hearing the katha. His spiritual master was glorifying the Supreme Lord, and suddenly one fly came and sat on his forehead somewhere, and he was a little bit distracted, and he touched his head to remove that fly, and that fly just flew away somewhere, and this was noticed by his spiritual master. He saw that he has touched his forehead, and then suddenly his spiritual master lowered his head and started looking down. So this caused some kind of disturbance to King Kulashekhar, and he was not able to focus. He wanted to know, what is the reason why my spiritual master despondent? So he humbly went and asked, and his spiritual master told that, what have you done? You had dust on your forehead, and that dust you removed. It is explained that the dust of the lotus feet of spiritual master can remove the sinful reactions of as many lifetimes as there are dust particles. When we take the dust, sometimes we say that, please give me your dust. It should not be a ritual, but there has to be a lot of thinking, meditation involved. There has to be a lot of reverence. And he said that, and because you touch your forehead, some dust particles have fallen off. So you can imagine how many lifetimes you have lost that opportunity. So then he asked, then what is the atonement? What should I do to be freed from such sinful activity? He didn't say anything. His spiritual master, he just walked away. He didn't want to tell. So then the king, he started inquiring other brahmanas. He told that, please search. Now you do some research on this area. Study all the scriptures and find out what is the atonement I should perform. And then they were referring all the scriptures and trying to go into deep and trying to find out, and they found out the solution. But they were very scared to tell the king, because it was not an easy atonement that you just go and take bath in Yamuna or something like that, or fast for some days. They knew that if they tell, then we will not have our king to guide us. That was the atonement. Still he was insistent. He told that, for me nothing is important. How can I displease my spiritual master? Even if it is giving up the body, I don't mind. But please tell me the what kind of atonement I should perform. So somehow or other they take courage and they explain that in order to become free from such sinful activity, you have to make a copper plate, 12 feet long, 3 feet wide, 6 inches thickness. Place it on 4 pillars and burn the charcoal below it. Till that copper plate becomes red hot. Very scary. This description itself is very scary. And you had to go on that copper plate and offer obeisances 108 times. Can you imagine the atonement prescribed? The king was jubilant. He didn't was depressed that, oh, now finish, my kingdom is over, my rulership is over. No, he was very, very happy to hear that. And they prepared the copper plate. And he took bath, he put tilak and wear fresh clothes. And as he was approaching, everyone was so scared. They knew that he's going to die. But still, he was very determined. He started offering prayers to Lord Jagannath because he was ardent devotee of Lord Jagannath. And he started offering various prayers. And he climbed on the hot, blazing, red-hot copper plate. And he started offering obeisances. His body was burning. But still he was going. And afterwards, the Supreme Lord, Jagannath, he knows what is going on here. So he came in the form of a Brahmana. And he told him that now it is enough. You are freed from your sinful activity. And then he asked, who are you? King asked him, who are you coming in between? So then the Lord revealed his Swaroop, Jagan Mohan, Lord Jagannath, in his divine, under the influence of Yoga Maya. And in that way, the king was freed from all reactions. Of course, this can never happen again in the future, because the king was such a great king. So this shows that how the dust of Vrindavan, or the dust of the lotus feet of spiritual master, is so important. In that way we should respect the dust of Vrindavan. We should not think that by purchasing the ticket I can go to Vrindavan. One should have that. One should prepare his consciousness while going to Vrindavan. And Srila Prabhupada explains that how we should go to Vrindavan in the mood of Akrura. Akrura, how he went to Vrindavan. In that mood, in that meditation, one should try to approach Vrindavan Dham and roll in the dust of Vrindavan as Akrura did. And this, how Akrura did that, is a wonderful story in itself. Akrura was commissioned to bring Krishna and Balaram from Vrindavan. Kansa, the atrocious king, he was very scared of Krishna and Balaram. He was sending so many demons, we saw, Putana, Shakatasura, and many demons will come. And one by one Krishna was killing. They were not found again. So Kansa was getting worried, what's happening? Nobody is returning back, giving me the good news. So then he finally decided, let me send Krishna's uncle, Akrura, who has been serving here. And he cannot refuse, Krishna and Balaram, they cannot refuse. When Akrura is, their uncle is calling. So, he sends Akrura to bring Krishna and Balaram. So Akrura, he starts his journey next day morning. As the sun rises, he mounts on his chariot and is proceeding. And as he's getting this thought that I am going to see Krishna and Balaram, today my life is successful. He's just meditating that today I'll be able to behold my great nephews who are the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And what I will do? I will fall at their lotus feet as a dandavat, offer my obeisances. And those lotus feet, they are meditated upon by the great yogis. Even the toenails, the effulgence of toenails of the Supreme Lord cannot be approached by great yogis. Panthas sukoti shata vasarasam vayorapa munipungavana. They cannot, even by drilling, pranayama, yoga, it's like going deep within our own consciousness and trying to find out what's there inside, Paramatma reaching. But they cannot reach even the effulgence, toenail. They cannot reach that place. I will have darshan of that lotus feet. I will fall at the lotus feet of the Supreme Lords. And all my sinful reactions will be eradicated. So this way he was just meditating. And then he was thinking that the Supreme Lord, I will be able to behold his lotus face, which is encircled by the locks of curly hair. He has got lotus eyes. His lips are like the reddish bimba fruit. And he has got such enchanting smile. So I'll be able to behold that Supreme Lord. So in this way, Akrura is just meditating. He is traveling, he is meditating. And he sees deers walking past his right. So he thinks that this is a very auspicious sign. The deers are passing on my right. So it is certain that I am going to see the Supreme Lords, Krishna and Balaram. And in this way he is just going on. And then what will happen? When I have reached Vrindavan, then I will see them. And I will just fall at the feet of Krishna and Balaram, roll in the dust of Vrindavan. And then Krishna, the Supreme Lord, he will call me Akrura, Chacha. He will call me because I am his uncle. So in this way, he just meditating. Akura is famous for offering prayers, Shravanam, Vandanam. Vandanam, the prayers offered. So, and then the Supreme Lord will place his lotus hand on my head. And that hand, this lotus hand, has got the fragrance of lotus flower. By offering charity to that lotus hand, King Purandar, Bali Maharaj, they achieved the position of Indra, the king of heaven. Can you imagine the transcendental lotus hands of the Supreme Lord? And that lotus hand he is going to place on my head. And with his mighty arms, he will embrace me. And he will, and I will remain in that position, bowing my head, folded palms. And then Balram, he will take me to another room and inquire about my well-being, his family, people. So in this way, Akrura is just meditating. He is going on his chariot and meditating. And Shukadev Goswami, who is reciting his wonderful pastimes, he explains that in this way, Akrura reaches Vrindavan or Gokul at sunset. Reaches at sunset when Krishna, Balram, they are coming and Dohan milking the cows in the evening. So one may imagine, one may just think that sometime before Shukadeva Goswami is speaking that Akrura started his journey in the morning and he reached in the evening. What's going on? What is the distance between Mathura and Vrindavan? Doesn't take even 2 hours, 1 hour maximum by car. He had a horse chariot or some nice chariot he had. Even 3-4 hours, 5 hours, 6 hours. But he is taking a full day to reach Vrindavan. So our Acharya has explained that he was not able to control his ecstasy. He was in his ecstatic mood. Somehow there he reached in the evening to Vrindavan. So as he reached Gokula, it is explained that he reached first Gokula, the outskirts of Vrindavan. There he immediately jumped from his chariot and rolled in the dust of Vrindavan. He was not thinking that I have got such nice clothes and what will Krishna say? He will look at me and from where you are coming? No, he was completely absorbed in his thoughts, meeting Krishna and Balram. And in that way, he reached Gokula and then he rolled in the dust. And then again he's going on to Vrindavan. And then he finally reaches Vrindavan. And when he reaches Vrindavan, he again jumps from his chariot. And he falls at the feet of Krishna and Balaram. He sees that Krishna and Balaram are two young boys, one dressed in yellowish garments, yellow dhoti, and another in bluish garments, One is looking bluish complexion and another white. Entire smiling, they are so happy, dressed, freshly bathed and dressed, and they are milking the cows. So that, and the sound of the bells and the whole effect, the whole environment had such mesmerizing effect on the consciousness of Akrura. And he was just, his hairs were standing on end. Tears were coming from his eyes. He was not able to speak. He just falls at the feet of Krishna and Balarama. And Krishna then, he places his lotus hand, which has the sign of chakra, the disc. He places his lotus hand on his head. And he assures the sign of chakra. He assures that I am Chakradhar. Don't worry. I am going to come there. I am coming. And I am going to kill Kansa. He was assuring Akrura in that way. And he places his hand on Akrura's head and he embraces. Still Akrura in his humble position, standing with his head lowered, with folded palms. And he's not able to speak. And in this way, Krishna and Balaram, they receive Akrura. Balaram also, later he takes him to another room, he offers, he washes his feet, offers him milk with honey and wonderful foodstuffs. And then they have a wonderful talk. So in this way we can see that how Akrura, he rolled in the dust of Vrindavan. So similarly, Srila Prabhupada explains that one should follow in the footsteps of Akrura and roll in the dust of Vrindavan. And in that way, it is not the mechanical activity going to Vrindavan and placing the dust on the body. That should not be the external ritual, but going more deeper, becoming the dust particle at the feet of Krishna. Therefore, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, in his Shikshashtakam prayers, he explains that Ayi nanda tanuja kim karam patitam mam vishame bhavam bodhu krupaya tava pada pankaj stuto sita dhuli sadrusham pachat. He explains, this is the right mood. He explains that what is my position? I am very insignificant. 1/10,000 tip of the hair. What is my position in this entire universal cosmos? And what is my precarious situation is that I've fallen in this material ocean, bhavam buddhi. It's a material world is compared as a bhavam buddhi. It's a material ocean. You have fallen in this material ocean. And is it easy to swim in the ocean? One tsunami wave, huge tsunami wave, or even a small tidy wave can sweep away. A very expert swimmer, he can just get carried inside. So that is a power. That's the power of this material energy. Cannot cross over easily. And what is happening is that we are having repeated births and deaths. Janma mrityu jarayavati. Sansar. The whole, the living entity is transmigrating from one body to another. He's just going on so many lifetimes. But Chaitanya Mahaprabhu explains that what I desire, I want to become the dust, particle, not even Krishna's friend. Sometimes devotees or somebody, suddenly they realize after practicing for a few years, they suddenly realize that I may be a Krishna's friend. Because Krishna's friends steal Krishna's tiffin and like that, I also do something like that. So it may happen, some kind of thought may come that, but one should be careful that we should not immediately jump to the highest platform. So therefore, Acharya explained, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came and he explained the right mood in which we should be serving the Supreme Lord. That's important. Otherwise we may think somebody, and we may develop that superiority complex. I am top, I'm the only one. Everyone is below me. Nobody is equal to me. So that kind of we need, that's the time when we should realize that there is still long way to go. So here Sukadeva Goswami is not just having a wonderful description. He's just not remembering, or he's not just like a parrot like speaking, but here it is explained that Sukadeva Goswami is having this, he has achieved this state of samadhi because he is constantly remembering those pastimes, he is absorbed in those pastimes. There are various levels when somebody can smarana avastha, can reach to that level. In the beginning is just like shravana dasha, one should be hearing, one should learn to hear. Then varana dasha, then he will develop little bit taste for hearing. One should hear, we do not have taste even to hear. Sitting in Bhagavatam class, it becomes like a big austerity. And then there are different levels. Our acharyas explained that recollection, absorption, meditation, constant remembrance, and then trance. These are the five progressive stages of Krishna Smaran. So we should know where we are. And practice sadhana bhakti to develop at least some lifetime. Maybe we will develop little taste in hearing the transcendental pastimes of Krishna and Balaram. And one should serve the instructions of spiritual master. One should not think that let me just go to Vrindavan and stay there and constantly do bhajan. In that way, someday I will have to die, right? So I'll die somewhere there. But it doesn't happen like that. One should be careful, not jumping over. Prabhupada left Vrindavan. He went, even at that late age, he left Vrindavan to preach the glories of the holy name. So in that way we should try to spread the glories of the holy name and constantly chant Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram. And hope that one day we achieve this, at least some level we reach somewhere. Hare Krishna. time is up, I think. The mic is not working now. Thank you.
Shri Prabhupada ki jai.